Welcome back to the Easy Talk Show. I'm your host, Easy Ward. This is the show where you'll get nourishment for your needs, food for your soul, and of course, healing for your hearts. Thank you for all the love from episode 14. You know, great, you know, thank you for all the comments. I greatly appreciate it. You know, that was my first installment of Cozy Couch Conversations. So, you know, thank you all for all the love and support. If you're new to my channel, please like, comment, or subscribe to Easy Ward TV. Once again, if you're new to my channel, please like, comment, or subscribe to Easy Ward TV. Man, this is another, you know, installment in the Cozy Couch conversation. So, you know, like I said the first time, you know, we created this installment, these conversations are really near and dear to me and really birthed out of a place of, you know, my own personal experience, revelation from God, and really just wisdom that I've learned from different experiences over the years of my life. And today, I want to talk to the person that is on the verge of going back. When I say going back to the thing or place that God brought you out of. So if I could just be straightforward, I'm going to talk to you right now who's watching this. Don't go back. Don't go back to that place, to that situation, to that time period. If God brought you out of it, keep moving forward. Sometimes there is a level of attractiveness or appeal to look back. And most times, looking back doesn't serve you or doesn't really benefit you in the long run. So I'm going to walk through some scripture, and then, you know, we're going to kind of peel this thing back some more. So Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14 says this. I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection, but I press on to possess the perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach to the end of the race and receiving the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Then I want to talk about the story of Lot, right? So with Lot, God sent two angels to warn Lot that he was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Because of their just overall immoralness, sexual immoralness, and just they just were living wild in layman's terms. So the angels told Lot, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters and get out of here. And then one of the angels said, run for your lives. Don't look back. Run to the hills so that you won't be killed. So Lot and his daughters, they obeyed, and then they ran away from Sodom, but they didn't stop and look back. But Lot's wife disobeyed, and she stopped and looked back, and she turned into a pillar of salt. So I think what I really want to implore to somebody today is that how many of us have been in situations, it could be addictions, it could be strongholds, it could be things that you never thought you would break through in your life. It could be that depression, anxiety, fornication, masturbation. It could be a relationship, a person. I mean, it could be anything. How many of us have got to a place where we didn't think we could get out? We didn't think we could get out. We didn't see a way out. But somehow, some way, through prayer, through time, God brought us out of that situation that one we never thought we'd make it out of. I want to encourage you that when you get out of something, there will be often times where that thing comes back to test you and tempt you to see, have you grown like you say you have? Have you evolved and matured spiritually like you say you have? Because you say that you're over that thing, you're past the thing, but sometimes you don't really know. And you don't know until it comes back and knocks on your door. And think about this, we all have something. Like, I'm not saying this as somebody who doesn't have something too, because there are things in my life that I've had to overcome or I'm still working through. I'm still trying to overcome. And it's certain things in my life that, you know, even though I'm growing, I don't know if I'll pass if that thing came knocking on my door. So I'm not telling you from somebody who's just like, yo, I got the answers. Nah, I'm telling you as somebody who's working through it, who's been in something that I didn't see how I would get out, but God snatched me out of it, and He healed me, He restored me. He made me back whole again. But I still am human. I'm still flesh. And oftentimes, this is the funny thing about God. Oftentimes, the thing that you think that you have overcome will come back to you. And he will allow it to come back to you just to see if you really, 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 really are over, like you're betraying. Because it's one thing to be like, man, I'm cool. I'm good. I got it. I'm going to be real, bro. I got it. But what happens when you get vulnerable? When you get weak? When nobody will know? Nobody will know. But that thing come knocking. That situation, that stronghold, that thing that you never thought you would be able to get through, it comes knocking. Will you fold? Can you really stand strong? Will you really stand strong like you say you can? And a lot of times you don't know. But today I just want to encourage somebody to just don't go back. If God brought you out of it, just know that his plan is perfect. And what's ahead of you is far greater than anything behind you. What's ahead of you is far greater than anything that's behind you. So don't look back. Keep pushing forward. And I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this message is for, but I'm telling you, like, there's so much purpose. There's so much destiny. There's so many great things ahead of you. But the only way to get those things is to keep pushing forward and keep pressing forward. And I know, I'm telling you, I know from experience how hard it is to keep pushing forward when sometimes you don't see anything that looks like anything better than what you got out of. I know that from firsthand experience. But what I will say is that if he brought you out of it, it was for a reason, and it's for your good. So keep walking forward, keep going forward. Damn, man, what you got? Cozy couch conversations.
I never thought this day would come, yo. This is crazy. I'm gonna tell you why. Cause I have a kind of a testimony, we'll talk about it in a second. But thank you for having me back to the cozy couch, man. But that kind of got me out of my couch a little cozy. You feel me? But what are some things you can suggest to not go back? Are there anything, if you had any type of wisdom, of any advice, what would you say? I have some things I would say, but off of your head, what would you say are some things to encourage somebody not to go back, or some things you would do?
One, find somebody that you can talk to and express how you're feeling, because we often negate the power of just talking it out. And sometimes you don't always want to go back. You just want to just talk through it. Like, the situation bothers you. It hurts you. It could be, you know, you used to smoke and you like, yo, I stopped smoking. But bro, I'm gonna be real. I kind of got desire. Like, I don't want to do it, but I'm human. Like, my body is withdrawing and I have a desire to go back and smoke a J again. You know what I'm saying? Or you got out of a relationship that you know wasn't healthy, and you know that person is ultimately not your person, and you feeling like you're feeling weak, and you want to just be like, bro, I miss that person. Like, just have somebody. Like, I really hope that whoever's watching, you can find somebody you can just talk to and just share. Like, listen, this is what I'm feeling. Because most times when you talk through it, I'm not going to give an absolute statement and say all the times, but most times when you talk through it, you yourself, as you begin to talk through it, you'll realize, you know what? Even though I feel this way, I can't let my feeling dictate my action. And oftentimes I believe that it's okay to feel things. It's okay. But you can't let your feelings deceive you, because feelings are deceptive and they're fleeting. So just because you feel like, man, you know, I want to go back to something, but you know, and you knew then, because I knew, we all know what's not for us and what is for us. Majority of times, you know, like, generally speaking. So I would say find somebody, one, that you could talk to about it. Two, I would say really cry out to God, like, really pray, get on your knees, and really share, like, God, like, listen, this is tough for me. Like, can you send me some type of help, relief? Like, give me peace in the middle of the storm. Like, I don't know how to get out of, like, I've been in this for a while now, you know, or like, or God, I'm tempted. Help me. I would start there. Like, those, like, find somebody to talk to, but really cry out to God. I think those two things would really, and then also ask yourself this question and be real with yourself. Is going back worth it? Like, really sit and ask yourself, is going back worth it? Ask yourself, what will you gain? And then ask yourself, what do you miss? And if you can help it, like, if you can be healthy and really list more pros than cons, then maybe going back is the right thing for you. I would still pray on that. But more times than not, if something is not healthy for you, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a stronghold or addiction, you know that that thing isn't for you. So I would say, you know, once you reassess that, then from there, you pretty much know, like, man, I should not be, like, I shouldn't be doing this. Like, this doesn't serve me, not one bit. So those are some of the things that I would say on not going back.
To add to one of your points, crying out for help is amazing because you're inviting God to that situation to help and heal. Mm-hmm. When it comes to talking to somebody, find somebody you can trust. We're not meant to go through life alone. The enemy operates in isolation. So when you are vulnerable, I guarantee you, and I'm one of those people, you're by yourself mm-hmm. most of the time. And if you're not by yourself, you're probably engaging with somebody that you might trust on a certain level, but when it comes to that thing that's in your closet, that's not the right person. So you need to find an accountability partner that you trust and, like, that you know knows God. So they can be praying on your behalf. They can talk to you. And they need to have full access when it comes to that situation. They need to know everything. Like, tell them and be honest because you trust them.
Mm-hmm.
This is really good. I got some things that I would suggest people do. Yeah. First thing is to not lie to yourself and identify and acknowledge what that thing is. The reason why I said earlier, I can't believe this day has come because I struggled with porn back in the day. I've never thought the day would come where I would be on a platform
sharing that. Yeah.
Because I thought that was something that I'm like, God's going to keep this hidden. But I'm glad I can share it because more and more I'm realizing it's not something to be shameful about because I can't name anybody who hasn't done it in my life. At least that's a male. Two,
that's facts.
Like, I just being honest with you. Two, I'm starting to see it more and more on social media saying men, like, starting to talk about it. So it's an important topic right now, and I'm glad that you brought it up. I just thought I would never be speaking on it. But for a period of time, I lied to myself saying this is not a problem. But when I acknowledged it, I started to make change. But you can't make change unless you identify I have an issue with this thing. So identify it one day at a time. It's not something that is going to be fixed overnight. This is like and that's for anything. Like you said, it could be smoking, it could be sneaking tracks, it could be stealing, whatever you think. Like one day at a time, if you can make it to 12 p.m. and it's 8 in the morning, make it to 12 p.m. Accountability partner, so get help. Mm-hmm. Like find help if you need help. Set boundaries. And the last thing is just to figure out what makes you vulnerable or what are your triggers.
Mm.
Just like I said before, every time I watched porn, I was bored and alone. And I was like in a vulnerable state. And you can feel it coming. When in your head, you're like, you know, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this.
Nah, you're right,
bro,
though.
You be in your head, like, nah, I shouldn't do this. Right, what am I doing?
I'm going to be real. You do it to me. You're like, bro.
I shouldn't
what
do this.
You like, bro, what am I doing?
I shouldn't do this.
Bro, that was just a waste of time.
And I found when going back to my point of setting boundaries, I had to delete Twitter. I don't have it to this day.
Your Twitter's crazy.
I'm gonna be real. No, like I had to. If I wanted to be better, I had to remove myself. That's like if you have an issue with smoking, why would you go to a house party or a kickback where that's nothing, that's all that's going on? You're tempting your own self. Being on Twitter for me, the people I was following, it was just a temptation. So I'm literally falling into the lion's den myself. Like, I'm putting myself there. So I had to remove myself from those rooms. So, like, and to give yourself grace. Like, it's okay to make mistakes. And when, after you acknowledge and you get the help you need, you'll then have the tools. But like you say, even through me overcoming my addiction, temptation still happens. And I still have to make, and like you said, God will give you the opportunity to really make your mind up. Hey, you got over that one day. You got over 2 days. Hey, you're being tempted. It's okay. I'm not tempting you because God doesn't tempt. Yeah. But I will test you to see how faithful you are to me and my promise. So, and that's up for you to make that decision when that day comes. But that's a really good thing that you know, the good topic that you brought up, bro. When it comes to being, we were speaking just now from the point of the person who was going through it, going back. Can you speak to it of being that person that is the trustworthy friend that you're being called to help somebody with? What can you say to that
aspect? Oh, yeah, man. So if you are the person that somebody's coming to about something like this, I would encourage you just to listen. Listen. Like, don't criticize. Listen. Create a comfortable environment and create an environment where they feel like they want to just talk and get things out. Because a lot of times the person that's coming to you, they need somebody just to listen to them. Because more than likely, they know that what they should do. They just need a good sounding board. So I would say, if you're that person, listen, do not interject, cut them off. Let them get out everything they need to get out in terms of that topic. And then also be somebody that one that can cover them in prayer. You know, like, really walk with them through this, like checking on them, but like, don't be over. I give them space to, like, you know, grieve the situation and also work through it, but really be there for them in a way where you're walking with them, you're comforting them, listening to them, and really just providing a safe net for them. Because more than likely, they're coming to you because they see something in you that is trustworthy, that is caring, that is reassuring. So make sure that you provide all those lanes for them, is what I would say if you are the person that somebody's coming to talk to.
Yeah. To add, invite, and you kind of touched on this, but invite the Holy Spirit to speak through you, and let it not be to glorify you as the trustworthy friend, but allow your tongue to be God's tongue.
Yes.
And literally, before you talk, or even in that prayer, you can open up the conversation with prayer if y'all have that friendship and say, you know, dear Father, you know, use me as a mouthpiece for you, Lord. Let your work be done in this moment, and pray with your friend at that moment, before you start the conversation, and let his words be like come through you, but don't let them be your own thoughts.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? But continue to support them. Don't give up on that person too. Have grace for them, because everybody has their own battles that we go through.
Everybody, like, the people you see on platforms, I have my own battles. I know Dan has his own battles. Anybody that you see on any massive stage does not have it figured out. They are working through their battles, but being obedient to their call. That's the only difference.
Mm.
They're just working through theirs while also trying to help others. That's really the only difference between anybody that you see with the microphone or platform. They just choose to work through theirs. Like, they're not absent of battles. They're not void of battles. They may even have more, but they just choose to put their work and their call and a level of obedience first, more than anything. So don't think that you see somebody with a mic, even me, like don't look at me and think I had an answer, because I don't. I'm just a man that's being obedient and that's just sharing what God is teaching me along the way. That's the only difference. Like, I tell people this, like, one thing about the about kingdom work is that we got to realize that it's not just on one person. We all have a responsibility. Like everybody may not be somebody who's speaking or teaching, but you have a responsibility to be a light, to disciple somebody else, to bring somebody else to Christ. That's in the word. That's not, once again, that's not me. That's in the word. So I tell people, like, don't look at me as somebody who got to figure it out, because I don't. I'm figuring out, but I'm just being obedient along the way. And I'm literally just sharing what I go through and sharing the principles that God has graced me with, you know, to kind of learn along the way.
Well, I don't have anything else to add. The only couple things I had in my head, bro, was one was, and I don't know why I'm seeing this, but like one of the points I made earlier was know your triggers, and I want to bring that up because whatever your thing is, there's a trigger for it. There's something that is sparking that interest. It could be your phone, it could be TV, the music, it could be, like I said, for me, it was simple isolation, just being by myself. So just know your trigger so you can remove yourself from it. If you know what's triggering you, then you can hush the trigger. A lot That's of times good. The triggers are intentional.
That's good.
You know, sometimes it's not on accident that you just happen to be by yourself tonight.
You're right.
It's nobody texting you back. That could be literally that is a spiritual warfare, essentially. Yep. Some of our addictions and some of our things is literally spiritual warfare going on. So don't feel bad about it, but recognize that. And the second thing was, and sorry to end on such a harsh tone, but dead bodies have a stench. What I mean by that is you have a closet and we hide things in closets. But with enough things hidden in this closet, smell reaps from that. And it starts to bleed into your life. And you operated in that for so long, you don't even recognize the smell. But people around you do. And when people come around, they'll be like, what's going on? Why do you... If you was in a house with a dead body, you start smelling like... Or when you know you walk by some trash, and you be like, what's that smell? And I'm like, you haven't taken trash out in a while or whatever. So it's like that. And I'm saying that to say my addiction or my problem with pornography bled on other things I had in my life. Mm-hmm. It bled on it where I felt unmotivated. I was assassinating my own business. I became lazy. All of these things. And nobody else was hurt. I'm just hurting myself. And nobody else might have recognized it, but it was affecting, like, my life. So your stench might not be outside of your room, but the stench that I was hiding was killing different sides of me. Mm-hmm. So dead bodies have stench. Recognize it. When you can recognize it, we can treat it. And there's always hope. There's nothing that we can't overcome without God on our side. So,
man. Well, guys, that wraps episode 15. This was another Cozy Couch conversation. I hope to see you next time. Love. Easy.